Praise Him. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, oh my Lord. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see
you. Love you. Thank you. Get a good one.
I want to see you. To see you.
Back with the home folks. We had a real good time in Arizona. We had some real good fellowship, real good friendship. We happened to Brother Andrew Glover was out there, and so was Brother Dale Smith. Of course, he's got a church out there, but we all got together on Saturday and had a little fellowship. And Sister Mandy Coe, well, she's Mandy Clayton now, we've known her 20-something years. She lives out there, so we got to all get together and have a little fellowship. But Brother Chris said, tell each and every one of you hello and God bless you. I told him, I said, it's a real pleasure to be able to preach to a group of people that understood what you were saying because they had a good background. They had a good preacher that could rightly divide the word. But there were about, what, June 4, 5, 6, new, 6, or seven new converts that had came with them from Colorado Springs, the old church where Chris used to be. And so we got to give them a little bit of testimony of the Word of God and how God sent a prophet. And I told Bob, miracles happen in Arizona. Because first service, you know, I preached a little while, and we got pizza and sub sandwiches and went outside in 90-degree weather and sat outside and eat pizza and drank some Coca-Colas, and then we went right back in and had service, and I preached for 2.5 hours, and not one person went to sleep. So, it's just all in what you want. Because you can have... reason I'm saying that is we put ourselves in the same situation. We blame it on eating. You can blame it on whatever you want to blame it on, but it's just in what you want it, because, man, they were sitting on the edge of the seat, especially the new ones. It's good to preach to new ones every once in a while, because you do get older, and, you know, you get more settled, and you get more amen instead of amen, you know. But to see the younger ones come in, and you bring a thought out, and then you see their eyes, you know, their eyes light up, and then afterwards you see the effect of that. Now they were still there with their earrings on and their pants on and all. That didn't bother me any. I wasn't talking to the outside person and talking to the inside guy anyway. So, but that's the same way with anywhere you go. And we sure appreciate Brother Chris for letting us have that time. And then we flew back on Tuesday. We had a day of rest on Monday, so it was wonderful. We had a good time. Saw the sun come up in Flagstaff at 6 o'clock Tuesday morning and took a picture of the sun going down in Greenville, South Carolina Tuesday evening. So we flew all the way across the country, watched the sun come up and then watched the sun go down. But Good to be back here. Good to be back with the home folks. So if you got your Bibles, let's go ahead and continue with Hebrews 9. We'll bring a little bit of extra thought maybe today, and but background a little bit since we hadn't, this has been a couple of weeks. So also remember this week, this Wednesday, I'll be speaking also. Also remember, as Brother Terrence is talking, May the 1st, we're going to have Bible study. May the 2nd, we'll have Sunday school. I've already spoke to a couple of Sunday school class teachers. I need to get with Anna, and y'all didn't take communion last Sunday, did you? That was the first Sunday. So we'll try to do that on that weekend of May. We'll stack that whole weekend up. Bible study, Sunday school class, and then we'll take communion. We might have some preaching in between a little bit of that. A little bit, maybe. But just remember also to put on your calendars, June the 16th through the 19th, the Father's Day fishing trip in Helen. Brother Chris Long and Brother Ronnie Long will be there with us. Also remember our 50th anniversary meeting will be July the 3rd and 4th. Brother Jewel Forney and Brother Mike Oltig will be speaking for us there. So we're really looking forward to that. And then, like I said, next Sunday afternoon after second service, we'll have cake and ice cream for the 81-year-old coming up. So, June turned 60 yesterday, and I told him we were. I went to work Saturday morning. I went to work, and I said, I'd done something I ain't never done before. They said, what? I said, I kissed a 60-year-old woman. They didn't get it for a second, so. But I told June, I said, well, now, you know, you do surveys, and they put you in these little brackets. You know, 35 to 45, 45 to 55, 55 to, well, we done moved over into another bracket. We're in our 60s. I don't know what, they didn't even do one for 80s, and I don't know what they do in the 80 or 80. Survival mode, that's what, you know, it's a survival mode for all of us. So we are, Brother Chris also said to pray for him. He's got some, he's just old, getting older. The man was a motorcycle rider for his profession back when he was younger. He broke every bone in his body almost, he says. So just remember, Brother Chris, he has a hard time getting up and a hard time moving around. So just pray for him. But Hebrews 9, verse 11, we're still in eternal redemption. But here at the at the end, we want to bring a few things out that we saw when Brother Luis did a masterful job Wednesday night of speaking on why hell is not eternal. I was hoping that title, what they call it, clickbait in the YouTube world. You know, you see that title and you think, man, that thing's going to get 5,000 views because everybody believes hell's eternal, yeah, except for the bride of Jesus Christ. You know, everybody, all of them, but it's getting up there pretty good. So maybe somebody will watch it and get something out of it. But you can't wiggle out of that one. Nope. And when you bring it right, you can't wiggle out. You can't say, well, you bring all the angles. That's why I love teaching, and I love how that like Brother Dale said, it positionally places you in the body. And I'll read something about perfect love here in just a little while that Brother Brown told us. So Hebrews 9, remember all these ones that are sick, the ones that are not with us, and we pray that they'll all be back together. We'll get them back together here. And remember Sister Sharon Snart. She's been on my heart for a while, so remember her. She's been going through a battle for a long time, but she's going through a battle now too. So she's just one of us. So Hebrews 9, verse 11. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. Lord, this is a trying hour for the world, but Lord, it should be a grand and glorious hour for your bride, because we see the word being opened in more. We see more avenues of revelation that's coming from different angles, Lord, but it's all bringing us to this one purpose. Is this plan of redemption that goes to the change of the body for the Gentiles and then continues right on to the Jews and then continues right on to the white throne judgment. Father, we pray that you'd give us strength today, Lord. Bless each one that's here. Be with the ones that are not here, the ones that are online, Lord. We pray that you'd just be with each one. Give us, Lord, today our daily bread. Be with the ones, Lord, that we pray for, the ones that list right down below my feet hanging on the wall, Lord, for salvation. Lord, for the ones that we go through, Lord, for the older ones here in our church, Lord, and the different ones around the country, we pray, Lord, Brother George Smith, that you'll raise him up for your honor and glory, Lord. Brother Ray, hear a good report today, Father. We pray that you just bless each one. Take care of us now and the further in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews 9:11, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. So he did away with that when he went to Calvary, right? Because it had to be done in flesh. You cannot redeem through a building. You can't redeem through a tape player. Amen? You have to have redemption through human flesh. It has to be, as Brother Dale was talking about, heirs and joint heirs. That's what we were talking about at Brother Chris's. When you say joint heirs, see, if I don't want to say daddy's going to pass away, but if somebody passes away and you got three people there, if they're joint heirs, this one doesn't get 10,000, this one doesn't get 1,000, and this one gets nothing. Joint heirs means whatever that's left, whatever's there,
right,
you get an equal opportunity to have exactly what that heir, and we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and what was he heir of? Heir of salvation. He actually obtained eternal redemption for us, so in that he obtained eternal redemption, it's ours. That way in John 17, he didn't pray that we would be two. He prayed that we would be one.
Amen.
To me, that's the greatest revelation that we're going to have to break into, break out of this God's way up yonder, and we can't get to him, and we're not worthy. Well, I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Where is he sitting today? He's sitting what? He's in a seventh dimension with a perfect body. So what are we heading to? The only problem is we got to have that perfection down here. Get the dead saints out of the ground, get that perfection here, because what the Bible says. Thessalonians tells us, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. So that's what we need to work on now. I'm not just trying to go over and over. This is a plan that's got to be carried out.
Amen.
And it's got to be carried out to the T, because God made the plan. He saw the plan that he made, and it was perfect.
Amen.
So it's why he called it eternal. Neither by the blood of goats and cows, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having what? Obtained. When he came out of that tomb on resurrection morning, he obtained eternal redemption for me and you, because his body was not eternal when they hung him on the cross, but he obtained eternal redemption for us. You may be seated. We're going to go over this real quick. We won't be long today. Job, the oldest book in the Bible, supposed to be written before Moses. Redemption was the oldest things in the Bible. Now, why did God, foreseeing that he knew we would fall, he knew that we would need a Savior to save us from the get-go. So he knew that Adam would need it, Eve would need it, Abel would need it, they all would need a plan of redemption before there even was a breath on the earth of a human being. Amen? Because now remember, I haven't brought this out, but let's bring this out, because the earth... the earth fell because we fell. Brother Dale read it this morning in Romans 8. The whole world groaneth and waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God, because when Adam fell, that brought everything down below him to the fall. It wasn't the earth's fault. The earth was created perfect. Amen? The animals were created perfect. The animals were supposed to do, they were here before we got here. And they were multiplying, and they were doing the things that they were to do, and you know, they were being, and I was watching, I downloaded a little video about a girl that was epileptic, and it made me cry because they take these little dogs from puppies. Now, I'm talking about nature. When Brother Dale, because the Bible says that we were brought under that. See, before the fall of Adam, those dogs didn't need to be trained. They were already trained to do what Adam told it to do. But after the fall, they began to get angry, and they began to start eating each other and all these different things. But now man, through the tree of knowledge, he is able to bring these little puppies and be able to emulate an epileptic fit. And the dog can sense it before the kid has an epileptic fit. By smell. It gives off a certain odor. And they've trained it now, and the reason I was crying, I thought, Lord, that's the way it should have been. There's no, there'd be no epilepsy, but that's the way it was when Adam was walking around. He didn't have to tell the dog what to do. The dog, everything was in harmony. Everything was in perfect love and was in connection with each other. and even the lion and the lamb laid down with each other and all these different things. But look what man has done just by sheer knowledge of the tree of knowledge, still being the highest in the food chain. He can train a dog that can go home with this little girl because she'd have epileptic fits and quit breathing. They happened to catch her one time before she passed away. So now this dog's with her all the time, and she had a fit there, and the dog just starts barking, going crazy, jumping up and down on her, so it alerts it by the smell. I thought, my, if man can do that in this natural, what about in the spiritual, where we don't need all that training of an animal, that the animal would just know what to do? Because the lion and the lamb, you lay them down together now, and one of them's going to die. But if you lay them down together back in before time, before there was a fall, what were they doing? They were in harmony with each other. They were just animals. There was no food chain going on there. So, but you look at those things and you think, God, that's why the Bible says we're groaning. That's what's groaning within us. That's what's groaning within the animals. That's what's groaning. You see the volcanoes going off. Alaska just had another earthquake, 5 point something on the Richter scale, and then you got one island, it's got a volcano. Every time I see these things and all these disasters, it's our fault. It's our fault, because you say, no, it's Adam's fault. Well, it's our fault because we haven't got it back to the, we haven't got the ship pulled back together yet. But we've got the way to do that. That's why I was explaining to them out in Arizona. That's why God had to send a prophet, because they had all these pieces laying out. There was a pieces, and you just look at pieces and you go, why? How in the world? Like Richard and Dad were, you know, laying the pieces out for that motor. What? That wouldn't have meant one thing to me. But you take a master mechanic, can look at that and say, oh, there's a cylinder. That bolt goes next to that cylinder because it's this. You see what? So God had to send us a prophet. They took all these pieces or all these loose ends, and what? He built the ship that's going to take us out of here. He's built that thing that you and I are going to have to attach ourselves to that. So this is not just talking about eternal redemption just because we want to go over and over it. No, there's something in here that's going to have to click somewhere to take us to a change of the body, because it's never happened before. So the psyche of humanity, how many people have you heard of change of the body? Like you said, if you ask them about it in the denominational world, what do you think is going to happen? They don't have an answer. They don't have an answer. What do you mean, change of the body? We're getting a new one. We went to that church, that guy, the little Baptist guy up in the mountains, and he got finished preaching, went outside smoking like you wouldn't believe. And they said, brother, he's coughing. He said, brother, you're going to kill yourself. He said, I'm going to get me a new body. It ain't going to matter what I do with this one. See there? So there's their teaching. And this was from a preacher. This was from a head of a church that was preaching to his congregation. So if he could do it, the congregation could do it. That's why Brother Branham tells us it's misinterpreted theology is what's got us into trouble that we're in. Misinterpreted theology is letting us do the things that we do, our misinterpreted theology. But thank God, let me tell you something. You've been put into a place that there is no misinterpreted theology. This message has not, yeah, it's been misinterpreted by the people out there, but when God brought it to the prophet and he brought it to us, it was not misinterpreted. It was the word of God brought a sounding board through a prophet that brought us the message, and then you and I have got one thing to do, and that's believe it, get into it, believe it, know that it's right, know that you're in the right place to get it. I was thinking when Bob was preaching why Pentecost failed. You can't preach that everywhere, buddy. There's a lot of people in this message still stuck in Pentecost. And when you tell them that's why they failed, you won't do it but one time. You'll be like me. You'll be that one and done guy. But you know what? It's not our fault. We're trying to bring the truth to the people. We're trying to bring the truth to the people. And if they reject it, then you know what? It's going to be on them. It's not going to be on us. It's going to be on them. Same thing with you. If you hear Brother Dale years and years and years preaching over and over again, and you reject it, then I ain't saying. Let's go to Ephesians 1. But redemption was, the plan of redemption was laid, this thing was laid out. And remember, there had to be a group of people take this plan of redemption and work it. Do it. You had to be able to connect yourself to this plan of redemption. We see in Ephesians that, and let's go to verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him, we know what that is, that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, how did he do that? He didn't do that just by saying, all right, I'm going to take Zach Blatton, but I'm not going to take Samuel Dale. No, he, by foreknowledge, he knew that Zach would come to a place that he was tired of being tired, sick and tired of being sick and tired of his stinking thinking, and he would want God more than anything in the world. Amen? So according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Remember, not pulling us through a tube. We had some good conversations out there in Arizona. It would have been good to tape them, but we didn't. But you look at that and you see that what honor is it more instead of just saying, all right, you're my son and that's it. It's done. Where is there a victory? Where is there an overcoming? Where is there a struggle? Where is there a, Papa God, where are you? You know, God save me. God heal me and all these different things. You know, that to me that brings everything. And I know sin is horrible. Right? Being sick is horrible. But my, when you get well. And my, when you come from a sinner to a saint. And you realize that God saved your soul and take you out of that pit of hell. And put you up into a higher place. And that you can think different and act different and things like that doesn't bother you anymore. What more do we look to God and say, thank you, Papa God, because I couldn't do that myself. Right. See, everybody, there's a lot of people, though, in this world that think they do that all their, by themselves. All these great people, all these great people of the world, even world leaders, if they're not born again, they're going to stand before that white throne of judgment just like the guy that didn't have anything in the world. They're going to all stand there and have to give an account of what they did with what God gave them. According to has chosen up in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We're going to talk about that word love just for a little bit in a minute. Having predestinated us, that's what Brother Dale's been preaching on, even Brother Chris has been preaching on. So it must be that we need to preach a little on predestination, and it not being that having predestinated what? Us unto the adoption, as we were talking the other day, you know, Luther was predestinated to a spot, but it wasn't to full adoption. Each person has been given, even Paul's age, the Ephesian church, this is who he's talking to, the Ephesians now, one of the most powerful churches there was, and 12 people went to that church. Amen? But they could understand this because Paul had brought them to a place. You and I have been brought to a place, but remember, because of the opening of the word, there was a lot of things withheld down through the ages. Now, not to perfect love, because remember, we're going to get to it in a minute. Perfect love cast out fear, and perfect love is the new birth. So they all had the new birth for their age. But that perfect love didn't carry them all the way because there was a group of people. Listen, we all have to, we were talking about this in Arizona. And the same thing here, I brought the quote, I didn't bring it with me, where Brother Brown talks about that box. God's got a box, and if Ephesian church age, they fulfilled what that was inside that box. Then he laid them away and brought in the Irenaeus church, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba. Each one of them had a message, and they're in that sixth dimension under their messenger. But not one of them, sure, they were a voice. Columba had to have a voice because he died before the church age started. So he brought his message and then a voice through a group of people. But nobody has ever been commissioned to bring the final voice to the final age. Under her messenger. Now, under each messenger, they brought a voice. But it wasn't final. It was a continuation. It was a growth development. It was baby form. Then it went to milk, and then it went to baby food, and then a little bit of hard food, and then meat. So you and I are living in the meat age. So listen, that's our requirement. Do you know Luther? If we brought Luther's box and put it out here in this age, that wouldn't do you any good, except just it would justify you. Wouldn't put you in the body of Christ. But now it put them in the body. Now everybody understand that. Because that won't, you have to go to the next step and then go to the next step because it's a requirement. Think about all these others. You know, you couldn't even, I was thinking yesterday, a couple of days ago. Martin, I don't think Martin stood up and said, bless God, I'm the third church age messenger to Pergamos. No. He come and brought a message. Each one of them come and brought a message. I don't even think Luther stood up and said, well, I must be a... No, it took a prophet in the end time so that we can take these quotations from the prophet and say, oh, that's why Luther acted like he did. That's why Wesley acted like he did. This is how we're supposed to act. Why Pentecost failed is because they cabbaged down and got stuck in a church age. They had the Holy Ghost, but they thought that was the complete part. And that, I was thinking about this. Brother Dale was in, out there where I was at pretty much, pretty close in Colorado. And we were out there hunting, and I wasn't serving the Lord. This is probably 1995. And there was two preachers that went with him. Well, one had the cabin, and the other one went with Brother Dale, and they were sitting at the table. And, of course, I was over in the corner listening, but and I knew what Dad believed. But this one was saying you got it all when you believe, and this was saying you don't get nothing until you get up to the top where it says Holy Spirit. And they're sitting there arguing back and forth, and Daddy's trying to bring them together. You know how Brother Brown took the tree off of the Trinity and tree off the oneness and stuck it in the ground? He was trying to stick a tree in that big old table we were sitting at. Didn't do any good, didn't change their mind, but they all had points that they were quoting each other back and forth. But you got to bring that together. You got to have the Holy Ghost before you can have Holy Ghost virtues. It just makes sense. And then you read the Bible where it says having the divine nature of God. You got to have the divine nature of God to know what God wants. You got to be a child of God before you know. Listen, the devil's kids don't have these traits. Oh, yeah, you, Brother Brown said some of these people have natural, but that ain't spiritual traits. Like this is spiritual traits coming from our daddy, coming from our genetics. You become a born-again believer, you're not your natural genetics, but that cuckabird turns into a wheat. That inside man is then the one, the control man that says, okay, you need to have virtue, not just be a virgin. Listen, they don't anymore, but being a virgin was a, in the Bible, you had to be one or they'd take you out and kill you. But that pretty much has eroded itself all the way down to the end time. Okay? But did God change? No, it didn't change. But that virtue is not living a virtuous life. That virtue we know is strength or power. Right. And so that's what you and I must look at right here. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That's number 7. Try to flip through here real quick. Verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. There was a certain mystery went out in all the church ages, but you and I, as I was telling them that Sunday, you know, you take the analogy of the book. Jesus in Luke 4, he sits down and they hand him a book or a scroll in Luke 4. And he sits down and what does he do? He identifies himself in the Word because the book's open. But now before he gets up to leave, what does he do? The Bible said he closes the book and hands it back to the preachers. And so they lived under a closed book because he went right on, you know, a couple years from there, he went to Calvary and died. He tried to show them the open book, but it disappeared. Oh, yeah, people got saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost all down through the church ages. But it was still, I see through a glass darkly. I don't see all things. I don't see how as I said many times before, as great as Paul was, Paul never knew what a seal was. Now, he knew the seal of redemption. He knew the seal, you know, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. But as far as the 7 seals, Paul never heard anybody preach on 7 seals. That was all given to John 20 years or 30 years after Paul had already went off the scene. And even John lived through it, tried to write it the best that God let him write it. And then he gave it back. But now remember in Revelations 10, what did that angel come back with? That angel came back with an open book. Somewhere along the line, that thing got opened back up. And it had to be a 7th angel messenger to reveal what this mystery, the mystery of his will, what did he say the mystery of his will was to adopt us. Now not just come to baby form adoption, because everybody, and I was going to tell Brother Dale to finish up this afternoon or keep going because there's more to that because you receive the spirit of adoption where you cry. Right. You cry, Daddy, Daddy, you baby. Right. You're crying, and that's okay. That's all right, because you know what? God's a good daddy. But now he does require us to grow up. I don't call Brother Dale every 15 minutes now and say, I need something. Yeah, that'd be funny, wouldn't it? I'm 61 years old. You know what he'd say? Grow up! For some of you, wake up! No, he's saying grow up. Well, that's what God's doing now. He's telling us to wake up. I've said before and I'll tell you again. Wake that thing up that's inside you and use it. We have encapsulated that thing so long till I can't and I won't and I'm not this and I'm not that. Quit that. Let that thing inside of you out. Let it do something. Come on, let it out of that cocoon. You'll be a beautiful butterfly. If you can't, but you know what happens? They have to fight their way out. That little worm, it solidifies on the outside, but you know what happens? That thing inside of it, that butterfly starts doing this. Them little old bees that come out of my hive, it's capped over with a little thin layer of wax. But you know what? The workers don't help them out. And workers will walk right over the top of them bees trying to come out of the hole. Why? Because that bee gets stronger as it's chewing its way out of that nest or out of that little circle that they're in or hexagon that they're in. And they chew themselves out and then they come out and they say, oh man, that was a struggle, but I'm alive. That's the same way with you and I. It's a struggle, but we're alive. It's a struggle, but we got eternal life. We should be the happiest people. You see people happy at ball games and all these different things. You see people happy. They win the lottery, they get happy. They get happy because they got their stimulus check first before anybody else did. Lord of mercy, people calling the post office all the time now. You got my stimulus check? It's like we hold them for something. We don't hold them for nothing. We get them things out as fast as we can get them out, folks. I'm promising. It's not all the postal people's fault. You get them out. We get them out as we get them. All right, but you know that people are happy when they get that $1,400. I will be when I get mine, because I've already got it spent. But what about God, though? That's just $1,400. You know what? It'll go away in about 5 minutes once I get it. Nah, 2 minutes. Because I already got it spent. But now you can't do that with God. You can't say, oh, I'll just use a little bit of this because there's nothing left. Uh-uh. The more you want, the more he gives. The more you get, the more he gives, the more you want. Amen? And it's an inexhaustible fountain. But in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. And as I said before, I'm not trying to be an exclusionist or as Brother Brown says, a segregationist, but God's a segregationist. He segregates good from evil. He segregates us from the church. He said, I now call you bride. You must act like bride. Don't act like church. There is a difference. It took a prophet to bring the difference, though. That way you could see a lot of times when when you see the prophet talking about, he will exchange church and bride, but you look after the seals open, he pretty much hones in and he tells you what that bride is. It's not that denominational church. It's not that idea that's out there in the world. It's one specific group. Because look, that in a dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together what? In one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. So we didn't come here with one. We didn't come here with one. We had to obtain it. We had to fight our way out. We had to fight our way to that birth. Amen? It didn't just come because we were born naturally on this earth. No, you were born naturally on this earth to die. You were born naturally on this earth to die. Because that's what God told him back in the garden. In sorrow, you're going to bring forth children. And they're not going to live. He put a time limit on some of them, 120 years. He didn't give that to us, though. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, and we've been through foreknowledge, we'll skip through that. But we know that Romans 8:28, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Listen, predestination, sure, it is determined that there's going to be a group of people here that's going to take this message and take a body change. So that is predetermined. You got to decide whether, because see, God knows who's going to be there. You don't.
Right.
So I, and you know what? I like it that way, because you know what? If Zach, if you'd have woke up one day and just said, well, I know I'm going to heaven. I don't know. We're human beings. It's like Brother Brown said. He said, if you knew God was coming tomorrow, he said, continue to plant your potatoes.
Right.
Get married, build a house, do all the things. Don't just sit down and go, well, I made it. Well, no, you need to press. I think Paul said press.
Right.
He said press on to this mark of the high calling, not just a level calling or just, well, I'm a Christian and I make it to church sometime. No, it's a pressure that we're, and you know what? We're built for it.
Right.
We're built for this pressure.
Amen.
If not, we'd be in another church age.
Right.
We were built for the pressure of this age. Because
yes.
We are astronauts. We are eagles. We are made to go higher. We're higher than any animal that's ever come. Lion, ox, man, or eagle. The eagle's the highest. It can take the pressure. And like somebody, I think it was in one of the songs. And let me give you a little something. Brother Joe Canada, bless his heart. For those of you that are on the email, he does something that's really, that will help you, because when we do these new songs, a lot of y'all don't sing them. You know why? Because you don't know the tune. But Brother Joe Canada, if you will open your email. Hello, somebody. If you'll open your email, he's giving you a link to the song. You can hear the song being sung by someone else. And you can get that and enter in maybe and do more worshiping instead of trying to figure out what the words are. Amen? So thank God for Brother Joe. He's not doing that for himself. He's doing that for me and you. So that we can worship and sing and not have to be focused continually on the words or how the song goes. But he sent that one yesterday and I really enjoyed it. I was playing it this morning before service so you kind of understand how to sing the song. What am I saying is God giveth the ability with all this technology, even with the fourth dimension that we've been talking about that's so bad, it is to the devil, but God uses it too. He sends his technology. I like God's technology. It's been, you know, God didn't need to stick a wire in anything. Never has. Never has to have an antenna. Never runs out of Wi-Fi. Never runs out of signal. Never runs out. He doesn't ever have to reboot. He's been using this forever. He's just, God has let man tap into it so me and you can put the whole message now on something about this big. So you don't have an excuse. You know, we had an excuse when we first had this building. And for those of you that I hope if anybody's got any pictures of the old church or anything of the building in the old church, we need to bring them for our 50th anniversary. Because this whole wall right here, there was not a door there. The door was right here going outside. There was two windows here and the seats were this way. And the wall was right there where Brother Donnie is at and it went back a little bit. But that was the whole church. Pulpit was right here. Piano was right here. But this whole wall was full of tapes. 7-inch reel. If you wanted to check out 3 or 4 tapes, it almost took a box to carry them out, just 3 or 4 tapes. Right? When Dad threw them all away, it was a whole pickup full. But you know what you can do? You can get the whole sermon on a little mini disc about that big. Stick it into whatever you need to stick it into and play it in your pocket, all 1,100 sermons. So you don't have an excuse. I didn't hear that sermon or that one. I couldn't find that one. It's all right here. So see, even God through the fourth dimension, he took all excuses away for you not being able to listen to the message of the hour or even listen to the sermons that are here if you're not here. Amen? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, being the firstborn, what happens? You have a firstborn, and then you have born after that.
Yeah.
Amen? But he was the firstborn, or the first partaker. Brother Dale will get into that with adoption, because somebody has to be the example, because it's not normal for us to act like God. Sorry. We're born contrary. We're born with a carnal mind. We're born what? Contrary to anything God said. Because that's what you live before you got the new birth. You live contrary to what God said. So that's the way. Don't be surprised. Just realize that part's gone now, I hope. That part's been put in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that he won't remember it no more. I wish my brain sometime would be thrown into that place. So I don't have to remember this. But you know what? You remember it for a reason. It keeps you humble. It keeps you away from that other stuff that you used to do. It keeps you from getting so close. Remember, Satan owns the fence, so let's don't get to where the fence is at. Amen? Satan owns the fence, so be careful. Stay away from it. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, he justified. He justified, he glorified. That's me and you. He called us in this end time. Look what he done. Like Brother Dale said, look at all the people from all the different places of the country. How he brought us all together and put us under one roof and put us under one message. That we can hear what? Hear the voice of God. Not only through press and play, but through a fivefold ministry. Because it takes a fivefold ministry to perfect the saints. As I said before, you might get born again listening to a tape or reading a book. That's fine. But listen, how in the world, like I said, that was my point I was going to make. How are you going to, if you're called and justified and glorified, you have to have a way to, for that to happen. But you got to open up yourself to get that. There's got to be a way. You can't just listen to the tapes because that's contrary to the Word of God. It's got to be a live ministry. It's got to be a live apostles, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. To what? To get you through this adoption stage. The stage of adoption has to come through preaching of the Word of God, an updated revelation. Are 2021 not different from 1963 or 64 or 65? Not different. Thank God for a prophet that when he preached both ways. He preached all the way back and he preached all the way to the future home. But let's listen to this. How can I take a cuckabur, number two, and make a grain of wheat out of it? It's impossible for me to do it. The only way it could be is because inside that cuckabur has been transmitted from a cuckabur to a germ called wheat germ. Remember, God's the only one that can do that. Everybody all right with that? Listen, so now let's go to the dimensions. I wrote myself a little note. Light, time, and matter is the first three dimensions. I'm kind of skipping through this a little bit to get to my point. Light, time, and matter. Now listen, we are trapped in this time. We're time creatures. Okay, sorry, we're time creatures. All right? And we have to have light, sunlight to live off of. Natural sunlight. Everybody got that? I'm talking natural right now. You got to have natural sunlight to grow the plants and to keep the animals and to grow the animals and grow the plants and them to eat the plants and you to eat them. And then for you to get strong, you need light. You need regular sunlight. So God give us that in the first three dimensions. Light, he give us time so that we, and being time creatures, we had to be, because he had to slow that, he had to slow those dimensions down so that there could be other ones.
Right.
Everybody got that? Think of this perfect plan. He knew he would need a fourth dimension. He knew he would need a fifth dimension that was a little bit faster, a sixth dimension that was a little bit faster, and a seventh dimension. But he knew that time had to come into being because he'd say, you're only going to live 120 years. Man's number, or what he's going to live, is 120 years, and now down to 70 for us. And then matter, he knew that, you know, as before all this, as Adam was in spirit form, he didn't need light. Remember Genesis 1:26, man was created before anything was created. We know that on the sixth day that he was put into flesh, but that Genesis 1:26, man was way before the foundation of the world. That's when this plan, listen, without that Genesis 1:26, man, there is no plan of redemption. Because that is the redeemed. That's not just everybody that just wanders all over the world. That's the redeemed. That's the ones that are going to be considered. What does the prophet tell us? He said, only what? Only sons and daughters of God are considered in redemption. Nobody else is. Oh, there's some that's going to be attached to it, but you and I are the only ones this Bible was written for. Why do you think God took so much time and kept all these books the way they're supposed to be? Psalms and Job and all these different ones. Why do you think he was so careful? Because he knew that human beings would need this and that the bride would need it because, as Brother Dale was talking about, if you caught it this morning, those that were under the law was not under that Genesis 1:26, man. That wasn't part of the Genesis 1:26, man. Because when Jesus came, now remember, he came to magnify the law, but for the ones, for righteousness' sake. He didn't do away with the law, but he came under the law to deliver us from what? The effects of the do's and the don'ts. Amen? Because he doesn't want his real children, once they, yeah, sure, they're babies and we smack them. We get a little, Brother Brown said, protoplasmic, whatever that is, stimulation. But once we get a little bit older, God expects us just to do the right thing. Thou shalt not kill. Do we have to get up every sermon and preach not to kill? Do we have to get up every sermon and preach don't covet your neighbor? I mean, that's really what, listen, that's really what the denomination of the world doing. They're preaching the Old Testament. Thou shalt not. But, you know, they're sitting there not doing all what the Word says. But, you know, be good to your neighbor. Thou shalt not do this. Don't do that. Do this. Don't do that. But remember, when we come down and Adam, he didn't have to have sunlight to exist. He wasn't in time. And as I've said before, Adam just moved through the earth. He walked through that wall if he needed to. I believe, because he wasn't in human flesh. He was in his theophany. Amen. And theophanies are the same way. You don't have to open a door to let a theophany outside. No, it just goes right through the wall because it comes from this hard shell thing that's caught in light and time and matter, because God knew once he put us in human flesh, we would need light and time and matter, because we got to have something hard. How in the world are you going to get in the car and go down the road today? Go home. You get in the car in a theophany and you just go out the other side. You need something hard, right? So we need something hard, something to beat on. Maybe you wouldn't have nothing to beat on. Chris has got this big old new pulpit, and I was banging on it, and he said, I didn't know if it'd take that or not, but I guess it will. So, I said, at home it keeps people awake. It hurts my hand. So look, the fourth dimension, we know what that is. But let's go to the fifth dimension, where Brother Luis was at. Because the fifth dimension is where the sinner, the unbeliever, dies and goes to, number five. It's kind of, well, the horrible dimension, and like Brother Luis said, it's a real, he did a real good job, just an outstanding job. And truly, you got to remember, folks, hell was not created for human beings to be there. Right. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Right. All right? So we look, we're through the fourth dimension, into the fifth dimension, and that's a holding place. Then we go to the sixth dimension. And we know the sixth dimension is Christ, the saints, the dead saints, because I want to actually, while he was preaching that, go into the sixth dimension, if you don't mind. While he was preaching that, I thought of a few things I want to bring out today. But look, it says the sixth dimension is Christ, the saints, the dead saints, or resting saints, who is completely worked, finished on earth, and has entered into rest with Christ under the altar beautifully. You could parallel it like a beautiful dream that you didn't want to wake up from. Now, the one Brother Luis was talking about Wednesday, you want to wake up from that one, but you can't. But remember, Brother Brown said, it ain't a dream, it's natural, it's real. I'm just making a parable. And then, of course, the seventh dimension is God alone. And I came upon something. How many times have we read the Bible and we didn't read the Bible? You know, we were talking the other day and I was preaching on paradise. And I said that I didn't believe that they were changed back to young people until the resurrection. And I got a scripture for that. Have you ever read it before? Let's go to 1 Samuel 28. Now we know that paradise was what? Paradise was a holding place called the bosom of Abraham. Yeah, go to all the way to 1 Samuel. We're going to skip a bunch of quotes here because you've heard them before. Because remember, what was paradise? Drop back down to, yeah, go one more. Go to 1 Samuel 28. It's right below that one. There you go. Because remember, what was paradise? Paradise, I want you to understand this. This is how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is and how imperfect the blood of bulls and goats was. Now, the blood of bulls and goats, what did it do? For this space of time, it covered the people. Everybody got that? But that was only showing that there was a time come that a man was going to come. A man was going to die, and that man had enough power inside of him, enough of the soul of God, which he was God, that he could come back and go not onto the believer, but inside the believer. And he could wash your sins away and do away, because the blood of bulls and goats, it only covered or capoed your sin. But we were talking about paradise. that we see that Brother Brown said John was there, Abraham was there, Isaac was there, Jacob was there, Sarah was there. But watch this in 1 Samuel. Then said the woman, who shall I bring up? And he said, bring me up Samuel. Remember, Samuel had been dead for 2 years. And he was in where? He was not in the sixth dimension. He was in paradise. Everybody got that? Right? And paradise was a holding place. I'm sure it was a wonderful place to be. I'm sure they were probably not unhealthy. They were not hurting in any way. But there was no way for them to be changed back to a young man and woman. Watch this. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. Now, this is where who? Saul came to the witch of Endor. The witch of Endor did some kind of hocus pocus or whatever she did, went to the spirit world. She did something. Amen? When the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul? And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said, Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up. Had you ever read that before? I read it 100 times and never read that part right there. He didn't say a young man. They didn't say an unrecognizable person. The Bible says an old man cometh up and he is covered with a mantle. Who'd you talking about? Samuel. So what happened when they died? They just moved over into another dimension. The same age they must have passed away with. Because listen, the blood of bulls and goats only covered your sin. But now look at the difference in the paradise and the sixth dimension we're fixing to talk about. Because a 90-year-old woman got the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this dimension, and when Brother Brown met her in the other dimension, she was a 20-year-old young woman. There was not age differences in the sixth dimension. And he said unto her, what form is he? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And we know the rest of the story. Yeah. Samuel tells him, still being a prophet, Brother Brown said, he said, tomorrow, he said, the Lord has departed from you, and tomorrow you and your son will be with me in paradise. Yeah. Amen? But an old man cometh up. Okay. So I really thought that was pretty neat, because I just took that in myself that that's what happened. But then I went back and read the scripture again, and there it says an old man cometh up. So they didn't change as much as we change, because like I said before, Jesus Christ hadn't died. So they were just covered. Everything was just, what Brother Brown said paradise was, a holding place. Not a rejuvenated place, not a wonderful place, not a place you don't want to ever go to. I mean, that you always want to go and don't want to come back. It's a holding place. So he put them in a holding place to hold them there until he died at Calvary. And then he what? The Old Testament saints, look, let's read number 11. The Old Testament saints ascended up at his loud voice when he screamed and gave up the ghost, because why? The sacrifice, the perpetuation of their sins that they had waited on, believed that perfect lamb was coming. They had offered the sacrifice, what? The natural lamb. And when he died and yielded up the ghost, he screamed with a loud voice, and the Old Testament saints awoke. So that was at what? At his rapture. So now let's go to number 12. Because we know that when Jesus died and resurrected, he brought some of the saints with him. There's not something we need to pick out why he didn't pick Enoch, and where's Moses, and where's Elijah. And he just says Abraham, Isaac, and different ones. I'm just going to go with what Brother Brown said. Some of the saints, the Bible says. Whoever they pick, listen, they ain't got nothing to do with me and you. Right. It's just the part of the plan of redemption, though, that we got to cover. Now, look. And now in this vision, Brother Brown's talking about now the sixth dimension. I believe I was caught up to that sixth dimension, looking back down here and could see back. See, the sight isn't exactly with the eyes. That's earthly. But sight is a greater thing. Now, what took Brother Branham across the curtain of time? Stick with me just a few minutes. He was a man, mortal. He could see. But when he was seeing something in another dimension, that was a revelation that God only knew. And you know what? That, if you'll think of this with me real quick, that was the actual mind of God, because he had already thought about it and had already seen it. God had already seen this, and he already's got it recorded. Listen, if your life is recorded and you're going to have to give an account for your life at the end time, and every person the same way, that recorder's running all the time with everybody. Except the bride of Jesus Christ. And we still gonna have to give an account for certain things. We'll cover that next Wednesday night. Maybe the Bible says some men's sins go before, some sins go after. Amen. So I thank God we don't have to stand at the judgment bar, the white throne judgment, but we are going to be judged by the little things that we do. That's why if you got something, you better get it out. Amen. Get it straightened with God. Get it straight with whoever you got to get it straight with. And you know what? It'll make you feel better. It'll make you feel a lot better. Why? Because that load of sin is off of you. And you don't have to worry about that, knowing that it's going to, because you know what it's going to do? It's going to follow you. Some men's sins go before. They follow you. Some come after. All right. And now in this vision, I believe I was caught up in the sixth dimension, looking back down here and could see back. The sight isn't exactly with the eyes. That's earthly. But sight is a greater thing than the sight that they have there. Their contact is far beyond any contact that our natural senses would contact. Now let me talk to you just a minute. Real quick. Look at me. That thing doesn't change from what's in you now to when it's going across the current time. Think about that. The sight that they have there, their contact is far beyond any contact that our natural senses would contact. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Whatever they had inside of them, the new birth they had inside of them didn't diminish when it went across the curtain of time. So who's diminishing it? Go look in your mirror. You're diminishing. That is already inside of you, trying to develop into that stature of a perfect man. Jesus, what did Jesus tell us? He said, I do nothing except the Father shows me first. Why? Because the Father was inside of him. Well, now, wait a minute. Now, brother, you can't add it. Heirs and joint heirs. Whatever he gets, we get. We need to do whatever the Father, he said, I only please, listen, we're human beings. But that's what I've said, my whole theme is let that thing out that's inside of you, because that's what Brother Branham saw in that other dimension was what? This shell was gone. This interpretation that we have, this carnal mind was gone, and they took exactly what was here. Listen, what took them into that dimension? What they had in this dimension. That's what took them into that dimension. Was what they already had. They didn't develop something once they got there. But once they got there, though, their carnal mind was gone. Their limited sight was gone. And they was able to tell Brother Branham, if you're reading one of them, Brother Branham, that 90-year-old woman tells Brother Branham what he's got to do. Now, if you read one of the accounts, Brother Branham hugs the sister and she steps over and talks to another sister, he said. And said, oh, said, we're glad he's here. And then he said, well, where's Jesus? He said, a little bit higher. He said, that woman turns and says, you are a leader on earth. Said, Jesus will come and find you, judge you by what you preach, and said, we'll all be under that and we'll come back to earth. She was telling him because what? Her sight had been done away with as far as earthly sight. And she had a heavenly sight. Now, what's our problem? Our problem is we've lost our connection with that sight over there. I thought we're supposed to, if we don't have it over here, how are they going to come this way? Amen. How are they going to ever get here unless we let what we already got inside of us, let it out. Let it change your body. Let it first change your thoughts, change your body, and then they'll want to come here. Because remember, think about this. You standing today with the new birth, with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're that close to the perfection that he's talking about. Amen. They're already gone. They got to come back here and get their body. Right. You're still in yours. Amen. You have a chance that God can change you while you're alive. Amen. If you want to be one of those alive and remain, some of you are already dead. Oh, well, asleep, sorry. One day some of y'all are going to wake up and we're going to be gone. It ain't going to be God's fault. Listen, I don't care how much you, who you are, when people sleep through a sermon, it don't make you feel good. It don't make you feel good. It's like you're not doing anything. There ain't nothing there to contact. It works other places, so. But it always happens. It's the new guy. You don't know what he's going to say, so you stay awake to listen and see what you can trap him in. Where was I? All right, so we know, as everybody knows, we pretty much have been told since we were coming to message how Brother Brandon went across the curtain of time and he talked to all these young people. Instead of me reading it all, I want to read you these few things right here and then we'll close. Because Brother Branham talks about agape love. Now, they don't have this because I had to pull it up later. Something's going on with my zip drive. It's not putting all my quotes in here, Bob. Something's boo devil. Some of my quotes, all of my quotes on perfect love didn't make it. So I'm going to read these quotes for you real quick because what did the angel tell Brother Branham? He said, whatever is here is perfect love. This is all perfect love. Whatever you love, and all those that loved you. Now remember, see, people quote that and they go, well, I love the prophet, so I'm going to be there. Because he said, the angel said, and I'm over here in the sixth dimension now, whatever you loved and whoever loved you and whoever you loved, because remember his dog's there, his horse was there, and his chair was there. I don't see how a chair can love, but it was a desire of Brother Branham.
Right. Right.
They repossessed his chair. There's a repossessed chair in the sixth dimension. You can laugh if you want to, but you know that's how so much God thought of the prophet. He gave him everything he needed. But you're over here in this dimension, and the angel says everything you love and everyone that loved you. Now, we got people that have died believing that if they just love the prophet, that they're going to make it. We heard it with our own mouth, did we not? Well, he said everybody loved. Now, look. There's a difference because remember, there's four different kinds of love. That's what we're going to talk about just for a minute. We'll talk already Wednesday night. There's four different kinds of love. There's what? Agape love or agapo. Got it? And I'll place them right here real quick. There's filial love, there's lust, and then there's filth. Everybody got that? Now, how many loves is in that dimension? Sixth dimension. One. So they were standing in that dimension of perfect love where the angel says all that love you and all that you love will be there. The problem is these people in this dimension have still got filial love. And filial love is for your wife or for, and you go down lower to your kids and then go down to your, you know, you can hug your mom and not same hug your wife, but it's still filial love. So there's a lot of things goes on with there. Then you go on down to lust. But now look, once you get over there, all them other loves go away. So the only thing I can tell you today is, if you don't have agape love, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth in your soul, you're not going there. You can love the prophet with filial love all you want to. You can love Jesus Christ with filial love all you want to in this dimension. It will not take you to that dimension. Because agape love has got to come from that dimension into your soul by the new birth. Listen to this. Adoption 1960. We're still in adoption series here. Thus saith the Lord, it'll take perfect love to put you in that place. For all that there is, for that's all there was there. No matter how many, how much religious denominations, how many good deeds you do or whatever you've done, that won't count nothing on that day. It'll take perfect love. So whatever you do, you lay aside everything else until you're just as filled with the love of God till you can love those who hate you. Klamath Falls, 1960. From this time forward, Brother Brown said, just remember, I'll say this with the faith that I have in that vision, whatever it was. I'll speak in the name of the Lord. Except you have that perfect love, you'll never be there. Watch this. Because nothing could ever be there without it. Listen to this. We'll close right here. Musicians, get ready to come. Your spirit would be out of place there. Your spirit would be out of place there. It couldn't come. There'd be no way for it to come. Now, he ain't talking about emotion. He ain't talking about filial love. He's not talking about, he's talking about what? Except you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, unless you have the new birth, your spirit, your normal spirit, can't go there. It'd be out of place. It's more place in the fifth dimension. Because that's your old self without being born again. Amen? Listen to this. Last one. Musicians, get ready to come. Bible says in 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Do you think any of those people were fear? They were not fearful of anything in that sixth dimension. Because perfect love cast out fear. Now the problem is we go from that down to filial love, where we fear that people don't like us. We fear that people don't love us. We fear all these different things. Because look, for fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I believe God sent the prophet across the curtain of time to do away with that fear. Of dying and not knowing where you're going. You're going to soul sleep. Are you going to just be hanging in thin air? Are you going to be over here? No, you're going to be in perfect love. And not that I love the prophet on this side. That gonna get you nowhere. I thought it was the love of God is what put you there. Now listen, you can't love God with perfect love here and not go there. But you can love anybody you want to love, the highest love you want to on this side, and you miss going over there. Amen? So don't tell me, don't put that up. Well, I just love that prophet. I love to hear him speak. That's okay. But is it perfect love? Or is it filial love? Is it just a good feeling? Or is it something that you've took that's different than what it used to be? That perfect love that cast out fear. One more before we close. Musicians, come on. The prophet of God tells us that I heard a voice that spoke to me in that room that said, this is what you preached was the Holy Ghost. This is perfect love. And nothing can enter here without it. I am more determined than ever in my life that it takes perfect love to enter there. There is no jealousy. There's no tiredness. There's no death. Sickness could never end there. Mortality could never make you old. They could not cry. It was just one joy. Oh, my precious brother, they took me up to a great big place. We'll read the rest of it Wednesday. We'll continue right there on perfect love. Perfect love. Oh, I love to come to church. See, that word love has been used so bad. Let's stand our feet. That's been used so loosely, I guess, by the world until, oh, I love to hunt. I love to fish. I love to this. I love to that. What love are you talking about? If you got four different kinds of love, a lot of that's lust. You lust after it. You don't love it. Love is the love of God. Or the love you have for your family that you, like Brother Brown said, he said, look, he said, here's the difference in agape love and filial love. He said, filial love, he said, if a man put his arms around your wife, he said, you'd shoot him and kill him. That's a direct quote. He said, you'd shoot him and kill him. He said, but if you got agape love, he said, you'll put your arms around him and pray for him. He said, agape love versus filial love. Filial love, he said, it'll make you shoot somebody for jealousy, being jealous. Because that goes with jealousy and love down here. But there's no jealousy over there. But the agape love, the love of God would have you pray for that man. Could you do that? Could you do that? Could you do that? Oh, I love Bella. She's a sweet girl. And she's never done anything wrong to me. And I'm saying I've never done anything wrong to her. But, boy, if she got mad at me, and do I still love her? You better. With the love of God, you're supposed to love your enemy more than you do your brother. That's why that brotherly kindness is way up there, Brother John, right next to the capstone, which is perfect love. Right up there close. Because brotherly kindness, and we'll read it Wednesday night, Brother Brown said that perfect love makes you love even your enemies. Amen. People that you know hate you. But see, that's brotherly kindness. See, that's not the love down here that you get the Holy Ghost. You get the Holy Ghost here. Then you got your add-tos. You got to add that to your faith. Add that to your virtue. Add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly kindness. Perfect love. That's the only thing that will go there. Nothing else. He said nothing. He said your spirit, in other words, will not feel at home. Now, I want to ask you a question, and then we'll sing a song. Now, if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost today in your soul, does it feel at home? Is this, if you feel at home here, in this, then you don't have the right spirit. Because this is not our home. Brother Branham wanted to stay over there more than he wanted to come back here. And he knew he had a job to do. But he said, do I have to go back to that? He was looking at his old 50-something year old body. He said, do I have to go back to that? Angel said, yep, you're not done yet. You need to go back. And thank God he did, because then the seals open. Shortly after that, we know that now we're able to go take the change of the body. That they're locked into that dimension. We're locked into this dimension. But by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we're actually in that dimension. We're in another dimension. When you get a revelation, it's not from this dimension. It's from another dimension. It comes from God. It's eternal. Have you ever got a real good revelation and forgot it? I hadn't. Not a real good one. I've had some thoughts in my mind. Right? We've had some thoughts in our mind and they kind of went away. But if you ever get a true revelation, I mean, if somebody can talk you out of there being not being a Trinity, if they can talk you out of what he preached Wednesday night about no eternal hell, if somebody can talk you, say, and you say, well, I believe maybe now there is an eternal. No, come on. You ain't got what you say you got. You didn't get a real revelation, because a real revelation, it actually is a part of what you are. Yes, amen. Amen? Oh, you might get a good thought. That's human. That's filial. But agape love brings something to you that no man on this earth can ever bring to you. No woman can ever bring it to you. Only God himself can bring that to you. But we'll talk about that a little bit Wednesday night. But that sixth dimension, that's perfect love. Amen. But now, remember, one more time, what's there... What was in that old woman was the same thing that was in that old woman here before she died. What's our problem? Let's sing a song. What's our problem? It's already there, Brother John. It's already inside of us. We're not going to gain anything.
Goes by, you will find. Child.
think about that woman that's sitting there in that crowd. Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" She said, "If I could but touch." You know, it's just like I said, you got to make an effort. You got to make an effort. If you need something, you got to make an effort. If you need a job, go look for a job. Don't go sit down on your couch and think God's going to knock on your door and bring you a job. Or change a warehouse to closer to your house. Amen? God knows what you need before you ask it, but He still wants you to ask because He wants you to put forth an effort. He wants you to put forth that effort. And that's the same way I said about now. I want you to know what's inside of you. What you already got, not what you're going to get, what you already got. Because if you got the new birth, you've got that pull with that dimension. But we're going to pull them this way, not pull us that way. Unless you want to go by the grave. If not, then we're going to be pulling them this direction. Amen? But it's not going to be by a child. It's going to have to be by a wife. The wife has made herself ready. June and I have been married now 42 years. She's my wife. She knows what I need. She knows what I want. I do the same with her. How many times have you been driving down the road and you turn around and say the same identical thing to that person? That's not weird. That's just even in filial love, you enter into a place to where you and your husband, why? Because you've lived with each other. You've shared experiences. You've shared children. You've shared all the natural things, and you enter into a place. Well, now listen, folks, if you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you got the new birth, He's your husband, and you're His bride. There shouldn't be a separation there. I thought if we had the mind of Christ, Paul said, the mind of Christ will tell us exactly what Christ is saying. Amen? Think about that. Yes, sir. Take that away from him and let it be a good day. Let it be a good day for all of us. You know, we got time on our hands, and we got Brother Ray laying in the hospital, and let's just, when we dismiss, let's just pray a prayer for him. There's no distance between here and Athens, Georgia, for God. Brother Ray's been an integral part of this congregation for a long time, 25 years, I think he said. So it would behoove us to just not worry about leaving right now. If you got something better to do, you walk out the door now. But we're going to pray for Brother Ray, and we're going to pray earnest prayer. Just like he's sitting right here in front of us. And just like he's your natural brother, because he's your spiritual brother, which makes him more than your natural brother. Amen? Because a natural brother, we've got a brother laying there that's a spiritual brother that's been with us for a while. And Kathy, we need to pray for her too. Even if she does have to make decisions, thank the Lord that Mary, the Red Cross, is flying her over here for free. So I don't know when she's going to get here, but we pray that even though Brother Ray, God can raise him right up out of the bed, he still needs to see his family. He still needs to know that they're right there with him. Amen. But he needs to know that his spiritual family, we can't go. Dad tried to go yesterday and they turned him away with all this junk going on at the hospitals. You can't get in. But we know somebody that can. Amen. Remember Brother Branham one time, he couldn't go in. I said, you can't go in. You can't go in. You know what he done? Remember he found a nurse. And they put him on like he was an intern. There's a way you can get in. Maybe not now as much as, then. They got cameras and everything. But back then, Brother Brown was going to pray for that person. He didn't care what. So they loaded him up, made him look like a nurse, and put him in the, he went in the hospital and prayed for that lady. So we're going to pray now for Brother Ray, and then we'll be dismissed. And go with God. We love you with the love of the Lord. We'll see you on Wednesday night, and we'll hear a good report for Brother Ray. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we know if time continues on that we'll stand here and pray for many people that are getting older in body, and the devil's trying their best to get rid of all of us. But Lord, the weakness of the body as we get older, we know that's just time. And we know that we're caught in this until, Lord, you return and take us home. But Father, you never told us that our faith should diminish. You never told us that you would leave us or forsake us. You said, no, I will not. You said, I'll be right there with you even unto the end. And Father, I pray that you'd be with Brother Ray right now, Lord, that, Lord, not somehow. We know that you're an on-time God. We know how you work. That you, according to the prayers of the saints, Lord, you said for us to pray fervently. So, Lord, we're praying fervently that our brother will raise up for your honor and glory.
Yes, Lord.
And that we'll see him back again. Lord, we know that there was time back when the prophet was here that you sent us a prophet that could see visions and tell people things. And Lord, he would build the confidence of the people. Well, Father, you have not diminished from that.
Amen.
Lord, that gift is now in the whole bride of Jesus Christ that we can, Lord, claim already the healing of our brother by the stripes of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Lord, you took everything. We were thinking the other day, you took every disease that's ever been named and you took it to your bosom at Calvary and you died and said, it's finished. But Lord, we have to believe that it's already done. Even the prophet said, if you came back, Lord, in a suit of clothes and stood in this pulpit, could do no more than what you've already done at Calvary for our brother. Lord, I pray that you'd be with him now. Be with Sister Kathy. Give her comfort. Lord, we want to see him again. We pray the family will be together, Lord, and get together. And we know there's a few of the family members, Lord, that don't know you, Lord. Francis and the different ones, Lord, we pray for them, Father, that this will bring them. That it'll shake them, Lord, out of that demon that's been holding on to him for years, Lord, out in the world, that you'll break that thing loose, Lord.
Yes.
And that, Lord, for your honor and glory, that they will be united as a family in natural and also a family in spiritual, Father.
Yes.
Lord, we pray that you'd anyone here, Lord, has any affliction or any need, Lord, that you would administer to them right now.
Yes.
We need you more than anything.
Yes.
We don't need a shot or a physician or a good hospital. We know that that's there we know we use them. But we need you. Because you're the one that has destroyed all that. You've destroyed the works of the devil. We just got to believe that. that when you died at Calvary, you even went down to hell and took the keys. He doesn't even have keys to his own house. He can't put us in or take us out. Lord, we go in willingly. Father, I pray that we willingly today, will, even as we go home, that we'll continually remember our brother. And his name will come up, Lord, many, many times. If you have to wake us up at night, Lord, I pray, wake us up so that we'll call his name and pray for our little brother, Lord. Many prayers are going around the world for him also, Lord, as several have called from around the country, Lord, asking about our brother Ray. He's known for a lot of people. Lord, I believe he's been a servant of yours for a long time. And I pray now that that will go to him, Lord, and that it'll heal him for your honor and glory. Let the doctors do what they can do. Give them wisdom to do what they can do. But, Father, they can't heal. They can only do the things they know to do, but you're the healer. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would strengthen that whole family. Give them strength for the little journey that they're going through, Lord. And any of us, the brother Collie and all the different ones that's been through certain journeys there, we pray, Lord, that it's a journey that when we come out on the other side, we say, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for thinking of me as a child, being your child, Lord. But, Lord, I pray that from this day forward that we grow up, that we're not being crying babies anymore, Lord, that we will be adults, that we'll be able to know the mind of God when it comes to us. Lord, we know that you've given us, Lord, the new birth. You've given us, Lord, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I pray, Lord, as I've said before, that we let that thing out and let it live. Let it do what it was accomplished, what it was set here to do, to accomplish a change of a body. Lord, though we get older, though many things happen, as in Abraham, Lord, he got 99 years old, and then finally, Lord, I believe he looked up one day and said, I can't do it anymore. So, Lord, as we look up to you today, we can't do it anymore. We can't try to figure this thing out. We're just going to believe, Lord, that you'll do what you said in your word, that you'll heal our brethren, that you'll heal each one of us, Lord. Give us all a rejuvenation of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Give us a refilling, Father, so that it'll clean out some of the flus that we have stopped up too, Lord. We pray that you'd be with each one, Lord. Take care of each one on the highways. Be with them in their jobs. The different things that they do in life, Lord, we pray that it'll be done for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.